My name is Cindy. I am 62 years old. The date is March 22nd, 2024, and I'm at Wichita State University in Wichita, Kansas, and I'm here with Lucia, my One Small Step conversation partner.
And my name is Lucia, and I, too, am 62 years old. I had to do the math. The date is March 22nd, 2024, and I am here at Wichita State University, and I'm here with Cindy, my One Small Step conversation partner.
And I'm reading Lucia's bio. I grew up in Idaho, moved my family to Kansas in 93 in a super small town in southeast Kansas. I have three children, an adult, and three in-law kids, five grandkids. Work at a small business I love. Lost my partner in 2013, moved to Wichita in 2016. Single and loving it. I have learned more about myself in the last 10 years than the previous 50. I have a tendency to get passionate about politics. I have a problem with organized religion. Haven't decided whether I'm atheist or agnostic, but I'm a U.S. citizen.
And this is Cindy, her bio. I was born and raised in Wichita, but was away for 22 years, living in Oklahoma and Florida. I moved back around 9/11/2001. I have one son who is expecting my first granddaughter in February 2024. I own an insurance agency, an olive oil and vinegar store, and I'm very active in the church and a nonprofit for women coming out of prison. I have two Cocker Spaniels, and I wish I could have a cat or two, but one of my Cockers would probably eat the cat. I love to play pickleball and travel.
Well, I guess let's go with, why did you want to do this interview today?
I like to understand other people. I realize, you know, even though I'm strong about my beliefs, that those are my beliefs, and I just like to meet people, and I would love to see our world come together and being so divided, and I thought this would be a good way to start.
I agree. I wanted to do this because I love to talk politics and religion. I saw that in your bio, and I thought, I'm passionate about that stuff too, but it just seems like so many people can't talk these days. I mean, I want to agree to disagree, you know, and still respect and love the other person. Just understand they've got different ideas and beliefs. I wish more people could do that these days. And I was also hoping, you know, who knows, might make a new friend.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I hope so, too. So, what was life like for you growing up?
Family, had a brother, younger brother, grew up in the church here in Wichita, just typical school. My folks got divorced when they started divorcing when I was about 11, and at 12, they were divorced, and I kind of went off the rails for many years, but Wichita's a nice place to grow up.
Yes, I like Wichita. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be here.
What about growing up in Idaho?
Well, my parents, and probably yours too, because we're in the same age bracket, my parents being babies of the Depression, self-preservation, you know, bought a farm so that we could always make sure that we could live and, you know, have fed, got food anyway, wouldn't starve. We would buy, they bought two or three just, you know, small businesses that was run by the family. So I grew up with a strong work ethic of there's work that's got to be done and I can do it. Idaho was a really beautiful place, but, you know, you talk about going off the rails. I kind of got off the rails while I was there and had to make a big change. So I moved to moved to southeast Kansas, and that's where I raised my kids.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts in southeast Kansas?
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
By Chanute. It's not too far from Chanute. Okay. It's north of Independence.
Okay. I used to hang out in Longton.
Yeah.
My family had friends and family out in that part of the country. We'd go out there on the weekends and fish and play. And
yeah, it was a good place for my kids. I think they. I was living in Boise. It was just getting to be too big of a town, and I think my kids had a lot better education here and a better environment to grow up in. So that's what brought me here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When y'all say you both went off the rails, what do you mean? What does that mean for each of you?
Well, for me, it means, okay, when my parents got divorced, I wasn't supervised as well as I should have been. You know, mom was busy trying to raise two kids. Dad was off doing his thing. And I just started hanging around with the kids that, you know, smoke cigarettes, smoke pot, that kind of stuff. I ended up getting raped at 12 because of the friends that I was hanging out with. It was somebody I knew. Didn't report it because, honestly, at that age, I don't even know that I'd ever heard the word rape before. I knew I'd had sex. I knew I was going to be in trouble, you know, so I didn't know that it was a crime or anything. I told a girlfriend of mine, and I told this little boy that I was dating at the time, who promptly broke up with me. But so then I ended up getting eventually into harder drugs and stuff like that. And it's just through the grace of God that I had a good brain. Thankfully, I didn't get addicted to anything, you know, like cocaine or anything. And I had a goal to go to college. And so I got moved around a lot in school. I went through like three different elementary schools, four or five different junior highs in 3 years, and six different high schools in 3 years. But thank the Lord, I made it through and went to college. And I went my first year here at WSU. So,
yeah. Well, my...
That was going off the rails.
Yeah. My going off the rails is pretty similar. My parents didn't go through a divorce, but they were so busy off in their own... You know, my mom had her business, my dad had his. And like you said, lacking supervision at that young of an age. And I, too, got messed, you know, started hanging with the wrong crowd, did my share of drugs, too, and more than I'd ever want to admit. And... So I'm glad you shared that with me because it's a hard thing to share. And it kind of explains that why in your bio you are passionate about the nonprofit for women coming out of prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually more to that one, too. So I went through college and graduated with an accounting degree and became a CPA. And April 5th, 1986, the height of tax season, I'd just become a CPA the February before that, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning in my bed with a guy that had a ski mask on and a knife at my throat. And he said, "Don't make a sound or I'll kill you." And I said, "Please don't kill me." And he said, "Where's your money?" And I said, "It's in my purse," and the purse was in the living room. Anyway, so that guy stayed for 2 hours. I thought I was going to die for 2 hours, every which way, but loose is how he raped me. And that got me really interested in police work. And within a few months, I was on the auxiliary police department with Tulsa. And 2 years later, I was a full-time police officer with the city of Tulsa. I kind of completely changed careers. And so, you know, I've seen women that have been through a lot of the stuff that I had been through growing up, getting in trouble. And, I mean, I was out there. I wanted to be a cop because I was wanting to get the bad guys, you know.
Right.
And so anyway, just years and years later, I had this money. I was getting ready to open a second insurance office here in Wichita. And I was in a Bible study, and the Lord just told me, "That's what you need to do with this money is start a house for women." I didn't know what kind of women. I was thinking maybe pregnant teenage women or something like that. But it turned into this nonprofit for women coming out of prison. And it's been such a blessing. These girls have just been wonderful to meet and get to know. And it's just amazing how they come out of prison you know, they go in and they've got driver's licenses and they've got social security cards and this and that, and they come out with nothing. And it's not easy to get a hold of your birth certificate, to get a social security card, to get a job, to get ID again. It's just they're released with hardly any money. And, you know, if they go back to the same place that they were, you know, or needing money and do the same things they did, anyway.
Yeah, I understand that.
What about you? What kind of work? Job.
I work at the spice merchant.
Oh.
Yeah. I love it there. And I've worked in almost every area, and now I'm in the business management part of it, doing the bookkeeping. I love counting money.
I like bookkeeping too.
So, yeah. So it's been such an eye opener for me working there, you know, and the owner, the boss, he's really encourages people, his employees, to push their own envelopes. And so that's been really great. But yeah, I've been working there for 5 years. And then, I worked in manufacturing too. Before I moved to Wichita, we're going to backtrack a little bit. Before I moved to Wichita, I was working at a boat factory. So that's really a turnaround of occupations and stuff. But I really liked it. I was there for 15 years. And then my husband died. And at that, when he died, my kids, you know, they were all adults. And they start in their own families, and my daughters were living in Wichita. And after my husband died, and then I had health issues, needed a total knee replacement. I needed my right shoulder rotator cuff repair, so I couldn't go back to the work I was doing. And so eventually went through everything I had trying to find another occupation and be able to support myself, which now I am. I'm doing it really well, and so that's really gratifying. And that's the part where learning about who I am that I'm saying I'm loving about being single. So, but in the process of it all, my kids said, "Well, Mom, you should move to Wichita, closer to the kids. The only thing I don't like about it is that my son is in Pittsburgh, Kansas." And he has a boy that I don't get to see a lot of. So, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from. I guess, yeah.
The spice merchant, that's so interesting. So, you know, the Best of Wichita that they have? Okay, so a friend of mine and I, we started Viva La Olive.
Yes, about I've heard of that place.
About a year and a half ago. And so anyway, we actually beat out the spice merchant this year in the Best of Wichita.
Oh, really?
Our very first full year of business. But we love the spice merchant. I love the spice merchant.
Yes, yes.
That's a great place.
Yeah, it is. And it's a great place to work because the boss, he doesn't make much more money than his employees. You know, I mean, of course, he owns a store, but as far as his salary, it's not much more than it is for his employees. And I've often, it's like, "Bob, you should sell more olive oil." And he's like, "Oh, that's just, it's too expensive," whatever reason he had. But I'm glad to know that you got about the olive oil because I like good olive oil.
It's kind of a funny story how my friend and I started it. One of the women that came out of federal prison to the house, my partner that's helped me start the house, she runs the Fresenius Dialysis Clinic in West Wichita. And this woman came out of federal prison early because she needed dialysis. Mm-hmm. And of all the homes in the country she could have gone to, she came to the one where we have a dialysis nurse at the house. So anyway, long and the short of it was she's from Ohio and she wanted to take a trip back to Ohio. And so Diane and I, we love to travel. And so I'd never been to Ohio and Diane hadn't. So we said, "Well, let's go with her." And so we go there and we get there. And the next morning, the first thing she wants to do is go to her favorite olive oil store. And me and Diane are rolling our eyes. I mean, I love to cook with olive oil, but I get it at the, you know, at Walmart or Dillon's or wherever. I'm like, I don't need some expensive olive oil, you know. And mm-hmm. Anyway, she drug us in there. She made us go. We went in there. And my friend Diane is very frugal, and we both came out with several bottles. You got to taste everything. It was just, and they had different balsamics, and you got to taste. It was just amazing. And we were just like, wow, how come they don't have something like this back in Wichita? And all we could do the rest of the trip was think about this olive oil thing. And we started going around visiting different olive oil stores in Ohio. We started researching it in Wichita, and we found that there had been two owned by the same couple, but they'd closed in February 2020. Mm-hmm. And we were able to get a hold of them and find out, did somebody die of COVID? What happened? Why'd you close? Anyway, they said, no, we were retirement age. COVID hit. We were ready to get out. And so we came back in the middle of Wichita. They had one at Rock and Central and mm-hmm. 21st and Mays. And so we went in Old Town.
Okay. I thought I'd seen mm-hmm. some down there in Old Town. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I love to cook, too. And different olive oils and stuff makes a lot of difference.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. I didn't even know they had olive oils that have, you know, different, like jalapeno olive oil mm-hmm. or rosemary or garlic or just, it's just amazing. Amazing. Yep.
Wow.
So when your partner passed away, your husband, when I read the bio and saw that your partner had passed away, I was wondering, you know, is it a husband? Was it a wife? What was it? Because, you know, when you say partner. So tell me more about that. Obviously, that must have been very painful.
Well, yeah. We had just come back from a trip and went to Washington, D.C. That was when my oldest daughter was. Her husband was stationed at Fort Bragg, the one that used the infantry airborne. And then my sister, she lives like just 40 minutes out of D.C. And so we all decided, oh, we're just going to go. It's going to be off for 4th of July. I thought, well, I wouldn't go be in D.C. for the 4th of July. I've never experienced it. And then a week later, he had died. I had come home from work. I couldn't find him. And his car was parked out front. And this was the heat of the summer. And he'd fallen asleep in the car. And I got there too slow. I didn't get there in time. So that was really, really difficult. Because we were definitely soulmates. I met him when I was 18, just graduated from high school, so I was 18. We lived together for a year, and then we got married. And from the time I met him until he died, I mean, we were always together. So that was a real big eye-opener for me. Maybe, you know, prescription drugs were involved. And I don't blame the doctor or anything. It was my own husband. It was his own fault, you know. And so it was really, really hard. And then, you know, 2 years later, I end up having all these health issues, and I, you know, of course, I had life insurance from him. Not a lot, but it was enough to get me started over again. We had a house that we were rebuilding, and so I decided, okay, I'm going to use, and it was mostly just his own labor. And so I decided to use that money to restore that, get that house done, move there, then I'd sell the house I was living in. And it just got to the point. And especially when I couldn't work, it just got to the point it was just too overwhelming. And so that's when I moved to Wichita and thought, oh, I'm going to go to school, learn to become a medical coder of all things, and never found a job afterwards. It took me 6 months. And I was like, and then in that job I found was spice merchant. So it had nothing to do with medical coding. So, but by that point, I was being supported by my dad, and, you know, so that was hard, you know. But no, I've recovered.
I'm really sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah. So were you married?
Yeah, I've been married twice. I was married to a cop for 5 years, and then I left the police department because of a marriage. I was only married about 6 months. It was a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept his last name Fortune because I thought it was really positive and, you know, it means a lot of money. I liked the name Fortune when I divorced him. But we got married really quick because he was getting transferred to MacDill Air Force Base in Florida. And if we were married before the move, they, you know, would pay for my move. And anyway, so I retired off of the police department right after I got my 10 years on. We were married and off I went. And then we promptly got divorced. He was, anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So my friends started calling me Miss Fortune after the divorce. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's not very good.
But yeah.
I kept the name because I liked it. And it reminds me every day the rest of my life, never get married that quick again. But I know you said you enjoy your singleness.
I do.
And I'm enjoying my singleness, too. I mean, I just, you know, it's not that I wouldn't ever marry or date again, but, man, they'd have to be pretty darn special. And you found your pretty darn special.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like God wants me being single. I can just do so much more.
Yeah.
You know, plus I, you know, eat what I want to eat.
Right.
Do what I want to do, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, I share my time with others, and I do a lot. But mm-hmm. if I was dating or married, well, then I'd have to, you know, that would just take a lot more time. I think I can do a lot more for God and others being single.
Yeah. I get it. I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. It's just, you know, and just that what I've learned about myself and what I'm capable of has just been amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to set a good example for my grandkids. You have your granddaughter now?
Yeah, she was born Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Millie.
Millie. Mm-hmm. Oh, Millie.
Millie? Kate? Yes.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute. Pretty special.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I'm going to be taking dinner out there to their house. They live in Newton.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Anyway, I'm going to be going out there to dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Speaking of God, you had mentioned in your bio that you weren't sure whether you were atheist or agnostic. Tell me about that.
I actually, I would call myself not atheist. I believe in God. And I what I have issues with when it comes to that is organized religion, that a lot of these religions are just another form of a business. And I don't feel I think the church should be something to uplift, something like you, you know, that's how you, you know, helps you get through the day and everything. But I look at it and a lot of the religions that I've been seeing, and not all of them, I mean, the big ones are more of a business. And I'm going, well, you know, this is America. We got freedom of religion. And my religious preference is in my heart. And I'm sure there is a God. And I actually feel like God gave us COVID to wake us up. That we were going down a bad path. And there's a lot of silver linings from COVID of people realizing the essential people, the working class, the people that are there to always get us through, that we can survive, and how we became so dependent on that during COVID, you know, the people working in the grocery stores and doing all that stuff. It changed my whole outlook as to employment and the importance of the job, not really employment. I guess your position in your community was probably more of a better way to put it, that, hey, I'm here at this grocery store. I want to make sure people are going to eat. That's essential.
Mm-hmm.
And up until COVID, a lot of times it's more like the attitude, oh, but, you know, you're uneducated or you're a lesser person because you're not in the hierarchy. And they are not. You know, that's an important job for our society. The janitor is an important job. You know, all those things. The trash man, they're important jobs. And these are the jobs that people are saying, you don't want to end up doing that for the rest of your life. They just don't get the respect. And I think COVID opened our eyes to that. And that's why I say I think God was trying to make a point, and that's why it happened. So,
well, you know, I have a great faith in God, and I go to one of the biggest churches in Wichita. So talk about a big organized religion. This church started out as a very small church over at Lincoln and Market. My mother was adopted and dedicated in that little tiny church, and, you know, it grew, and then they built the church out at Maple and the Big Ditch at Central Community Church.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the reasons that we've grown is that, you know, the church is there to do God's work and to help others, and, you know, I think a lot of people have joined together, you know, in this church to do exactly that, you know, and
mm-hmm.
everybody's got their different part to play. Just like in the workforce, employment, I personally think that the Chinese gave us COVID, but there were wonderful, valuable lessons that we all learned through COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, what would we do without our trash men? You know, we've got to have, you know, and not everybody is supposed to go to college. You know, we need artists and, you know, people that build things and paint things and, you know, mow the lawns. And it's just, you know,
everybody has a role.
Yes, absolutely. And that's where I think part of my religious beliefs come in is that God loves everybody. Everybody's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the things I love about our Constitution. You know, they said we are all created equal.
Right.
I like that.
I like that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yet we're all supposed to be different, you know?
Well,
we're all different.
Yeah, we are all different, and it's okay.
Yes.
You know, it's that is, I love the Constitution. I love, you know, and your description of church is what a church should be. I agree with that. I do.
But it's a pretty big, organized.
Well, if they do it, as mm-hmm. long as they've got the right purpose for it. So, yeah.
Love God and love others. That's the purpose.
Yep.
Right. Well, let's talk about politics because we both love politics.
Yes.
I consider.
Just put your pen right there. Oh. Mike's picking it up.
I consider myself a constitutional conservative. I usually vote Republican. What about you?
I am left-leaning Democrat. I usually vote Democrat. I think Joe Biden he surprised me and has done a better job than what I expected. I voted for Obama, and yes, I am more of a liberal. You know, I think, you know, economically, everybody does better when you got and I guess this is why I like Biden, is if you got a strong middle class. I mean, your plants grow better if you're watering the roots than sprinkling water on top of the plant. And that's kind of my analogy of how what makes a strong economy is, you know, so, yeah.
So are you better off under Biden's economy?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Okay, well, I would have to disagree with that. I would think that the average person is not better off in Biden's economy. The, you know, prices have gone crazy, ridiculous. The way they're letting so many people into this country and paying for them to have health insurance and a place to live and et cetera, who aren't even legal and they're not vetting them. I think we've got terrorists coming in to this country. I think things were a lot better under Trump's administration. And I did vote for Trump, and I will vote for him again. So I think I didn't vote for him in the initial primary because I don't like the way he talks to people or about people. I mean, mm-hmm. the name calling and, you know, the bad names he comes up for people. But what he did in office, I thought was tremendous. The economy was booming. You know, COVID at the end of his administration really shut this country down. And I think we've learned we shouldn't do that again. But, yeah, we're going to have to disagree.
We're going to disagree on that one.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own, you know, and that's actually, I think it's better that you have both views discussing it and being able to come up with a compromise, you know, that, okay, I could give a little here, if you could give a little there, to where we can cooperate with each other and understand people's differences and try to come up with solutions that's going to work both sides.
Yeah, I wish Washington would do that.
I do too, because I think I definitely feel like the average person, the populace, they feel that way. They're not the extreme. You know, most of us are just out there wanting the same things, wanting a home and wanting their families and want to make sure that they're comfortable for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And everybody has their own belief of what will do that, and we have that right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just that everybody needs to work together to achieve it. And, you know, we don't always have to agree what's going to really get us there. Like we said, we could agree to disagree there.
Right.
So that's, yeah.
One of the things that upsets me about this whole political thing is I feel like the Democrats have tried to silence the Republicans and the freedom of speech issue. So during COVID, you know, when people were saying that the virus came from China, you know, they were shut down on social media. When they were forced, you know, to take a shot or, you know, keep their job, I just, you know, we lost a lot of freedoms that I don't think should have been lost. You know, when people were saying that Hunter Biden's laptop was his laptop, you know, they were shut down and silenced, you know, and there's all kinds of things that I just think our freedom of speech has been lost so that only one side's voice gets heard. And that really upsets me because, you know, that's what the Constitution is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, you know, the right to bear arms, those sorts of things. And it just really upsets me that I feel like we've been silenced a lot.
Interesting. Because in a lot of ways, I feel that the media hasn't heard a lot on the Democratic side. But then, you know, when it comes to that, you're probably, your source on your media is going to be the right side, because that's your belief system, and that media is teaching you things that are giving you beliefs.
What are your sources of media?
A lot of mine is Facebook, I hate to say, because that's really, the social media isn't good that way. I've gone more towards I try to watch middle of the road news, but yes, my news is probably more on the left side, like CNN. I haven't been watching as much of that lately.
And I would be a Newsmax girl.
Yeah. And so the media is feeding us. I mean, just the radio. Well, not the radio so much. I think the radio, what I listen to, they try to stay out of it. But what you hear on the news depends on what station you're watching. And our news isn't like it was in the 60s of Walter Cronkite, that would just get up there and state the facts. It's opinionated, because we got a right side media, Newsmax, Newsweek, what else is it? So the others. Well, Fox
News. Used to be Fox.
Yeah. They are catering to and probably more biased towards supporting their belief system. And also that's true on my side, the media that I'm watching, that they're, you know, trying to put out the message that they're trying to put out a message the conservatives are bad, and the conservative media is putting out a message that the liberal side is bad. And a lot of, I don't know if there's a lot of the fact checking isn't there. So
in my impression of things, I miss those old days of Walter Cronkite. Back when in the newspapers, you know, when you were doing reporting, you were supposed to check these facts, mm-hmm. okay? They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
In my opinion, there are plenty of news organizations that just flat out lie.
Yeah.
They lie. And they just shove their opinion. It used to be you just gave the facts. You didn't give your opinion.
Yes,
but
exactly.
I think there was something on the news recently. I mean, they say that, I can't remember, was it Whoopi Goldberg that was saying she just thinks all, you know, Republicans ought to be killed or arrested and killed or something like that. I'm just like, she's not a news source, obviously,
no.
But, you know, there seems to be, even on the news channels, where mm-hmm. they just say just horrible, cruddy things.
Yeah.
I feel like the right-leaning news, I listen to talk radio. I also listen, you know, I watch Newsmax sometimes and once in a while Fox, but and the internet. I do watch certain people on the internet, you know, podcasters or whatever you want to call them.
Me too.
But I really feel like the news I'm getting on the right, I feel is the truth, you know? And I feel like the news on the left is not the truth. I think that's where the big problem for me comes in. I feel like we're on the side of right and truth, and I feel like the other side is not.
See, I'm just the opposite. I think my side is the right and truth, and this side is the wrong, and where there's probably a whole center in a place in the middle that is the truth that's not getting out there. I mean, yes, there's bad media on both sides, and so citizens are not getting accurate information either way, you know, on either side of the spectrum.
I think Americans are pretty uneducated.
They are. A lot of them are very
sad. The education system in this country is sad.
It is. I agree. Yes. It really is.
I sent my son to a private Christian school. Kindergarten was the only year he went to a public government school. He went K-4 at Bethel, and they were teaching computer and Spanish and Bible, of course, at age four. And then he went to kindergarten at the same school that I had gone to kindergarten to. And his papers came home with misspelled words by his teacher. He was learning and picking up stuff on the playground that I didn't approve of. And so I prayed. I said, God, just, you know, should I send him back to Bethel? You know, it's a lot of money. I'm a single mom. You know, it's a big sacrifice. And I said, just send me a sign. And I'm sitting out on the front porch one morning drinking coffee, reading the newspaper back when they had a newspaper. And my mom calls and said, hey, your son won the lottery. I said, what do you mean? I mean, we don't buy lottery tickets. Oh, he won the busing lottery. So he was going to get bused up here to Mueller, which is pretty close to WSU. And that to me was just that he would have been on a bus for an hour and a half, 2 hours a day. That was the sign, sending back. Yeah. And it was a big sacrifice, but I'm glad. And I wish more parents had an opportunity to do that for their kids. Mm-hmm. Did you know there's a Senate bill 509 coming up in Kansas right now to give parents a 50% tax credit on tuition that they pay to and it doesn't have to be a Christian school, just any kind of a private school. You've got three kids and five grandkids.
Yeah.
Tell us about them.
Well, my girls, they're 1 year and 10 days apart. They're best friends. They're the ones that live here in Wichita. The oldest one is a teacher. And then the other one, she's a medical lab technology. She was doing a bunch of COVID tests. The lab that she was working in, she was doing the COVID tests. They are both married and each have two kids. My daughter, Prism, her husband is the one that's a veteran. They have two kids. They got a grandson. He's the oldest. He is 11. And sweetest kid you've ever met. It's so hard on himself. And then she has a little girl. And that girl is feisty and ornery and has all kinds of, just like her mom. Very, just the little, she's going to be great engineer because she's always figured out how to do things. And then my other daughter and her husband, he works at Trader Joe's and she works at, Cancer Treatment Center. And then they got two kids, they're girls. The oldest, she's 10 weeks younger than my oldest grandson. So they're best friends.
Mm-hmm.
She's the artist. And then got another grandchild, another little girl, and she's the performer. And then my grandson that's in Pittsburgh, he is, oh my gosh, a mathematician. My son, he is a high school math teacher, so he's geeky. And their kid, he is the same way. He'll go to sleep counting. So, yeah, they're all pretty special.
So you've got two that work at schools.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and in fact, my son's wife is also a teacher. It's kind of funny. I always tease him that my son, he just loved his fifth grade teacher, and she just loved him too. You know, thought, oh, he's gifted, good, and all this stuff. And, well, his wife is a fifth grade teacher. So that's good. That's really good for him, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The only concern I have on your comment about the bill is, you know, especially where I have kids that are public school teachers, to take tax dollars to send kids to a private school, take money away from the public school too. But I haven't really, I've never really researched the whole thing. And so it's not something that I'm, that's a big issue with me. You know, I haven't done the homework to really form a strong opinion. So
the tax dollars in the state of Kansas per child are more than it costs to send a child to any private school. So those of us that did make that choice for our children had to pay, you know, our taxes for the government schools on top of tuition. And I wish they had school choice. I think the money should follow the child, not the school. And if the money followed the child and you could choose what school you wanted to send your child to,
yes,
no matter what,
I
think that would foster better competition among the government schools, because I don't think they've done a good job in education in many instances. You know, they're passing kids that aren't reading at math level and et cetera, et cetera. Those kids need more special attention and love.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff that that we're finding out that they're shoving onto our very, very young kids, sexual content, you know, all the alphabet content. I mean, I don't care whether you're straight or gay, but I don't think children should be subjected to any kind of that kind of content early on. And so it's just, it would be nice if people had the choice to send their kid to whatever school they wanted to. But
I get that. I get that. And that's we're getting more that way with the magnet schools, because both all my kids, well, except for the one in Pittsburgh, all my grandkids are in magnet schools. And so they can pick the emphasis, like the, all my, the one, the four of my grandkids here, they go to Earhart Elementary. The two oldest ones are good or they're in fifth grade, so this is their last year there. But so they are getting more of that in the public school system, be able to pick and choose what schools they want to go to. But then, you know, you still have the issue of transportation and the parents, you know, the parents are working and the schedules and that sort of thing too. So yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I would. I think it would be great to sometime. I've enjoyed this conversation.
I
would go out to dinner with you sometime.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
I could do that. So,
what's something that you each think you'll take from this conversation?
I think I found a friend.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Can never have too many friends.
No, you can't. And it's good to have this, can have a candid conversation.
Yes.
You know, and not feel threatened. And that's nice. So
I think that this project is such a wonderful idea because of that. I mean, that's the whole. We ought to be able to talk with each other rationally, whether you agree or disagree with the other person.
You
know?
I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So.